this last week, the church celebrated the ascension of Jesus. However, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave his disciples some instructions. And we have those instructions recorded for us in Acts chapter 1. This is what our Lord says. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit would enable these men to be bold witnesses of the gospel. They would proclaim a message that would begin in Jerusalem and eventually spread to the ends of the earth. Through their work, God would sustain and nurture his church, a church that he continues to call, gather, and sanctify today by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the Holy Gospel. What this means is, though Jesus had ascended into heaven, he was still with his disciples, leading them, guiding them, and giving them the ability they needed to labor for the kingdom of God. Now, today's gospel reading is John 17. And that reading takes place before Jesus ascends into heaven. In fact, it occurs before Jesus is crucified. However, we're not going out of order here. What Jesus prays for in John 17 very much applies to the time period after Jesus ascends into heaven. In John 17, our Lord knows his public ministry is about to come to a close. His time with his disciples, men who he is about to send out into the harvest, that time is short. And so he prays. Here in John 17, we see the Son of God praying to the Father, interceding for his disciples on their behalf. He is their advocate. And he prays for them, asking his heavenly Father to keep them, these men, in his name. As an obedient and faithful son, Jesus says that he had guarded and protect these men entrusted to his care. He says, Father, I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except for the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. In addition, Jesus says that he had also given them his word, his sanctifying word of truth, and he asked the Father to keep them from the evil one. Our intercessor and our advocate, Jesus Christ, he prays for these things. Yes, he was about to leave this world, but his disciples would not be alone. He would continue to give them his Holy Spirit, bringing to their remembrance all which he had taught them. They would possess his true and holy word, and these men would find protection in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as they would work and labor for the kingdom of God. These gifts our Lord gave them would equip them and allow them to survive and labor in a creation that is antagonistic and hostile towards the church of God. But not only for them, these gifts, that is protection, the true word of God, and sanctification, those are gifts that God continues to give to his church today. And boy, do we need them. We need God's protection. Friends, we need to hold on to his word, and we need his sanctification. There is another thing that our Lord prays for in John 17 that we must highlight. He says this, the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Hostility towards the gospel, antagonism towards the pure, holy church of God, hatred towards the saints. Friends, it continues today, and it's in full force. In last week's sermon, we talked about the martyrs and how it is important for us as the body of Christ to keep the martyrs before us, those who died for the sake of Jesus Christ all throughout the world. And not just across the world, but the enemies of the gospel are working long and hard to forever snuff out the light of Christ in this nation. There is a segment of people, friends, who are in league with the evil one, and they want nothing more than to remove God and his church out of the picture forever. Do not be deceived. This does not always happen by physical force. The devil, the evil one, that wily serpent. Oh, he's much too creative, and he is much too clever, friends, to come at the Christian with torches and pitchforks. At least for now, no. Friends, an attack by the evil one often starts from within. It oftentimes starts in the house of God, in the very church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you've heard it preached before, and we hear about it in Scripture. When Jesus says, "Beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing, spreading false doctrine with his intent to divide and conquer." Beware. It only takes a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. It only takes a little bit of false teaching, just a little bit of false belief, unchecked. And over time, it can spread throughout an entire congregation and cause devastation to God's church, all to the delight of the evil one. All he wants to do is devour and scatter God's sheep and see his church collapse. Now, persecution and hatred for those living in Christ, it continues to happen. But so does suffering of all types, right? Worry, panic, fear, depression, an ailing body, or dealing with a difficult family member that causes you great sorrow, that causes you to mourn for them. These things happen to the Christian. Like King David, though, we have thought, or even said from time to time, what he says in the Psalms. "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away, I would lodge in the wilderness." That's Psalm 55, verses 6 through 7. Now, it would be kind of nice when we're facing a difficult situation. We wouldn't have to deal with it. We could just kind of sprout wings and fly away. "So long, everybody. My wings have sprouted. I'm off to the wilderness. I'll see you when I see you. If I see you." Unfortunately, and obviously, we can't do that. And getting away from sin in this world, friends, it is impossible. To totally and 100% completely get away from sin in this world, we would have to do what St. Paul says to the Corinthians. You would need to go out of the world. The only way to completely get away from affliction and the temptations from sin that fall upon us every day, one would have to leave the world completely. Now, that may sound like a solution, but that's not what our Lord is praying for here in John 17. Now, please hear me. There will be that time where our Lord takes the believer from the valley of sorrow to be with himself in heaven, to live with him in righteousness, innocence, and blessedness and purity forever. That time will come for the Christian. In the meantime, we are, as our Lord says, we are in the world, but not of the world. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we anticipate that citizenship while living in the here and the now, living in this world replete with sickness, suffering, and death, a world where even the essence of truth, friends, is questioned. In the Sunday School Hour today, we're going to continue going through Isaiah chapter 5. And there is a verse in Isaiah 5 that is eerily similar to the times we live in today. It's Isaiah 5, verse 20. And there the great prophet says this. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness." In other words, woe to those who call God's teaching, his law, and his word bad, but the wisdom and opinions of man good. God clearly says no to homosexuality. Do not be deceived by the wolf in sheep's clothing. Our Lord's word is clear, and he declares that to be a sin in his holy and righteous sight. Mankind says, "Wrong! No, it's good." Not only should we accept it, we need to embrace it and elevate it. God clearly says no against sexual immorality. He clearly declares it to be a sin multiple times in his holy word. Mankind says, "No, wrong. It's a good thing. Marriage is the problem. It's an outdated institution. that no longer has real usefulness for society. God has declared his only begotten Son, Jesus, and the blood that he shed to purify man from sins, that is the way to live forever with him in paradise. Man quickly says, no, wrong, bad. That's excluding. There are many ways. Take your pick, you'll get in just fine. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the sinner loves to muddle the truth. Or even say there's no such thing as truth, it's only what you believe and think, it's all relative. It all depends upon you, the person, what you like or what you dislike. That might sound quite convenient, picking and choosing. But brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord's testimony is clear, and he tells us today in his holy word that his word, it is truth. The gospel witnesses that were around Jesus, they heard his teaching. They recorded his teaching that we have on the pages of Holy Scripture for us to read, to learn, to inwardly digest. Our intercessor Jesus continues to pray for us just as he did for the disciples, saying, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Friends, the word of God is truth in its entirety, all of it. You can trust in it. You can bank on it. You can believe that Jesus will do exactly what he says he is going to do. Just read the Gospels. When he tells the disciples he's going to be arrested, guess what? It happens. When he says he's going to be put on trial in front of the chief priests and the elders, it happens. When he says he's going to suffer and die, it happens. When Jesus tells him he will rise again from the dead, it happens. And over 500 people see it. Jesus is true to his word. And indeed, his word is truth. He doesn't go back on it. He doesn't change his mind. And thankfully, he fulfills everything that he says he is going to do. Now, what does this mean for us? Friends, we can know by God's word what he declares. In today's gospel reading, we hear from Jesus that he set himself apart for a specific mission. Or as the text says, he consecrated himself. He consecrated himself to fulfill a divine task foretold even in Genesis. Jesus would consecrate or set himself apart to be a sacrifice, friends. A blood sacrifice. A holy, pure sacrifice that would make atonement for sins, all sins, once and for all. Verse 19 in today's reading tells us this. Our Lord says, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Friends, for your sake, Jesus consecrated himself, fulfilling his divine plan to redeem you and all of creation from the bondage of sin. Jesus would consecrate himself, set himself apart to live, suffer, and die in order that you, his people, may be sanctified, holy in his word of truth. In other words, Jesus dies to forgive you. Jesus sheds blood to sanctify you, to make you holy, without spot, without blemish. Jesus goes here, and he pours out his blood and water from his side. That's what John's gospel tells us. Blood and water gush from his side. He goes through that for you, that you may be purified from all iniquity and impurities. Jesus does this for you, friends. For you. You don't need to fly away to get holy. We don't need to sprout wings in order to find forgiveness. You have all the holiness and forgiveness that you could ever want in your Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, do not be afraid of the antagonism of this world. Don't be afraid of the hatred the enemies of the gospel show towards those baptized believers abiding in Christ. God's word is clear. You are part of a church. It cannot be conquered. A church that cannot be defeated because the church that you are a part of, the body of Christ, His church, the body of believers have been purchased and won, obtained by the blood of Jesus. And friends, though we are in this world and not of this world, like the disciples, we have too His holy and sanctifying word. His Holy Spirit continues to lead and guide through His holy word. And not only that, before Jesus ascended to the Father, He gave us something. We still have Christ, friends, in the waters of holy baptism. There, the one being baptized comes into the waters of regeneration. Here, Christ is present for you. On this altar, our Lord leaves us something. Not just bread and wine, but His true body and blood, as He says, for the forgiveness of sins. Christ for you. Christ for you. He continues to come to us. So to conclude all of this, we do live in a world that can be hostile and antagonistic. But remember, friends, our citizenship, it is in heaven. Our home is with our Lord, a home that has been prepared for you by Jesus Christ. And as we live in this world, know that we have His true and sanctifying word, a word that purifies us and sanctifies us. How? By creating and sustaining faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who set Himself apart to live, suffer, and die for you in order to grant you forgiveness, life, and salvation. This is for you. His word declares unto us still that the believer in Christ, by God's grace, is part of a church that cannot be defeated, a church that will not collapse, a church that cannot be conquered. You, the believer in Jesus Christ, your Savior, is part of a church that has been forever obtained by His shed blood. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.